Okay. Good evening, everyone. For those of you who don't know, my name's Duncan. Rana just asked me to talk tonight, so here we go. What I'm wanting to talk about tonight is I want to talk about discipleship. Okay, what it means practically, what are we going through, that type of thing. And I've titled my sermon or my talk, Leaving a Legacy. Okay, because that's really what I believe discipleship is, ultimately, is leaving a legacy. And we're just going to go and look at what is God's heart in terms of discipleship and leaving a legacy. Okay, it's quite a big topic, but I really believe that God wants a change of hearts in us. Okay, too often I think in church in general, not just in this church, but in all churches, we sometimes think that discipleship is like a program. You know, it's almost like this factory that people get saved and then they go through this process and then out pops something else. And often what happens is it becomes very impersonal. Okay. Often we think that for instance, discipleship involves walking with Jesus sessions. Okay. I want to disciple TP Tapaneswa. So I say, Tapaneswa, come, we're going to do walking with Jesus once a week. Okay. Now, walking with Jesus is not bad, all right? But discipleship is, and we're going to look at it's discipleship is actually more than that, all right? Walking with Jesus sessions are awesome, and it's part of discipleship, but that's not where we end. Okay, a lot of people kind of think that's just it, all right, only that, all right? And we want to look at a few scriptures and see actually what's on God's heart in terms of discipleship. Okay, so I'm going to start off with the first scripture, which is Genesis 1, verse 28. Okay, now we're going way back, all right? All the way to the beginning. Okay, now this is just when God has created man, all right? And this is his first commandment to man, all right? It says there, then God blessed them, this is after he's made them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Okay, so God's first commandment to us as human beings was to multiply. Okay, now in this sense, obviously he's talking about physical multiplication, all right? Have lots of children, he's saying, all right? And the reason is to have dominion over the earth. Okay, but I believe that to us today, this applies spiritually as well. Okay, God is calling us spiritually as well to multiply ourselves, all right? And that is how God has used, or that is how I believe God is kind of the method that he's using to kind of keep us going as a Christian faith. In a way, it sounds weird because he can do it whatever. But and this is how God obviously is talking about keeping the human race going. You know, how do we have dominion over the earth? We have to multiply. All right. Now you'll speak to anyone who's married, and God is in all of us. God has given us a desire to multiply. Okay, all of the ladies who are married or are going to get married, I'm sure if you ask them, all of them have a desire to have children. Okay, and that is a God-given desire. All of us, or all ladies, especially men, we're going to hope that you as well after this, if you don't have it already, God has given us a desire to multiply. Okay. And spiritually, that is the same as well, okay? God has given us spiritually a desire to reproduce ourselves, okay? Often what happens, though, is some people are blocked off from that. There's something that's blocking them from having that desire to multiply, to reproduce themselves, okay? And we call that a legacy, all right? You impart a legacy to someone else, to your children, all right? And we're going to take a look at that. Okay, so God's first commandment to us was to multiply ourselves. All right, now, I want to take a look at the Great Commission. All right, now the Great Commission was the last thing that Jesus said to us while he was on earth. Okay, now I don't know about you, but if someone's last words on earth, if he or she has one more thing to say, okay, they're going to think really carefully about what to say. Okay, what am I going to say? What's the last thing that I'm going to command or talk about to whoever, all right, to my grandchildren or to my children or whatever. All right, and this is what Jesus says. We all know it. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Okay, so God asks us, or God, Jesus commands us here in the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations. We all know this scripture, all right? And we use this when we're going on missions and that type of thing, and that's great, all right? But often we misinterpret that scripture, all right? A lot of people, and a lot of Christians especially, misinterpret that that scripture, all right? And more specifically, though, one word, all right, which is disciples. Okay, often people read it, they say, this is what they're thinking, go therefore and make converts of all nations, baptizing them in the name, and so on. Okay, now there's a clear difference between the two of them. Okay, there's a clear difference between a disciple and a convert. Okay, and Jesus actually makes this distinction a little bit earlier when he's talking to the Pharisees in Matthew 23, verse 15. And he says to them, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are. Okay, so Jesus here distinguishes between a disciple and a convert. Okay, and often I'm afraid in church circles today, we often concentrate too much on converts rather than disciples. Okay, and I want to take a look at what is the difference. Why did he not say go and make converts of all nations? All right. Now, if you take a look at that scripture, you'll see there that when he talks about, he says go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Okay, so that talks about an involvement, all right, giving of yourself. All right, now often what happens, especially in missions, and thankfully I think Shofar doesn't do this, but often people will go on missions, or a church will send a mission team to somewhere, all right, another country, and they'll have an amazing program, people get saved, great, awesome, okay, but then they leave, all right, and what happens is they actually, all of those people are left kind of on their own. Okay, and what happens in the end, those people kind of lose their way again. All right, and that's why, that's amazing thing that us as Shofar do, is when we go on missions, we try and connect with another church. Okay, and the reason for that is when people get saved, they can connect to a local body. All right, why can they, or why should they connect to a local body? To be discipled. Okay, so God and Jesus talks very clearly about this, that we need to disciple people. All right. Now, discipling is a concept that talks about giving more of ourselves. All right. Often what happens in church is we go out and we say do a discipling session with someone, all right, but it's a once a week session and then we go away. Okay? And teaching is great. All right. God is calling us to teach. And people must know the way. They must know what is right and wrong. Okay. Right, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 4, verse 14 to 16. All right, and this is where I believe that the distinction between converts and disciples comes in. All right, this is Paul talking to the church at Corinth. He says, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. Okay, so as in Genesis, when God calls Adam and Eve to multiply, all right, he's really giving us a picture of what it means to disciple people. Okay, and today's in our world, a very good kind of correlation to discipleship is the relationship between a father and a child. Okay. Or a parent and a child, rather. Okay, and here you can see that Paul makes a distinction. He says here that in church you have a lot of instructors, okay? A lot of people who teach you things and that type of thing, and that's great. But he says you don't have any many fathers, okay? And I want to take a look at what is the difference between an instructor and a father, okay? Now, a couple of things in terms of an instructor, all right? You have, if someone is an instructor, that, if you take a look at it, it talks about there's not much responsibility there. Okay, you pitch up somewhere, you teach something, and then you go away. All right, then you come back another week, and you instruct, and then you go away again. Okay, so an instructor, there's not much responsibility. Okay, they don't take responsibility for that person. All right, it's instructing and then going away. Okay, a father talks about a whole different concept. If you look at a father, all right, a father doesn't send his child off somewhere to sleep in some other place, and then every kind of week they have a once a week session, all right, to teach them the ways of life, and then they go away, they separate themselves. What does it talk about when you're a father? Okay, when in a father-child relationship, it's talking about spending time together. Okay, really being in that person's space. Okay. If I'm spending time with him, I'm in his house, okay, he's got responsibility over me, all right? So he has a responsibility to bring me up, okay? He cares for me, he provides for me, that type of thing, okay? And it's the same in our spiritual walk, all right? We've got a lot of people in church who are very strong Christians, all right? A lot of you sitting here are fathers and mothers in the house, okay? You are in spiritually in a place where you are a father or you are a mother. Okay. But often what happens is we miss it a little bit. Okay. Us fathers and us mothers in the spirit often act as instructors instead of discipling people. Okay. Can everyone see the difference between a father or a father and an instructor? Okay. So a father really talks about imparting. Okay, when you look at a father, he will impart stuff to his child. Okay, he's by spending time with that child, he will impart some of himself. Okay, and this is really what discipleship is talking about. Impartation. Okay, and this is the key in terms of discipleship. Impartation. All right? My father has imparted himself to me. Okay. If you speak to my wife, a lot of the kind of mannerisms and that type of thing that I do, I'm pretty much copying my dad. Okay, those kind of things, my beliefs, all right, those things that I hold important, are a lot of them from my father. Okay, because I've spent so much time with him, all right, I've picked up some of his beliefs, all right, some of his things that he holds true to. Okay, one of the things which I don't really like, but my dad is very stingy with his money. Okay, he's very careful with his money. And he always gives me these sermons about how I must look after my money and don't waste it and that type of thing. And that's one of the things that I would say I struggle with, is often being stingy with my money. Okay, and there's a difference between being careful with your money and being stingy. Okay, I think I'm more on the stingy side. Okay. But that is a thing that I've picked up from my dad. Okay, he's imparted that to me. Now, he's not only imparted bad things to me, he's imparted the good stuff as well. You know, I've really got a solid Christian foundation because of my dad. All right, he taught me from when we were young, the ways of the Lord and what it says in the Bible and what is the right thing to do and that type of thing. Okay, but there's a real difference between a father and an instructor. Okay, father talks about responsibility, all right, and us as those people in the church who are spiritual fathers and mothers, we really need to take responsibility for the children in the faith in our church, okay, because we're going to see why that is so important, all right. If we take a look at the scripture, Malachi 4 verse 6, okay, now this is quite a scary scripture in terms of how God sees discipleship and taking responsibility for those people in our church. It says here, and now this is talking, this was prophesying about John the Baptist, how he was before he was before Jesus was going to come, how John the Baptist was going to come and prepare the way. Okay, and this is one thing he said here, and he said, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Okay, now if we correlate fatherhood and or parenthood or whatever to discipleship, this is quite a scary verse, okay? Because this says that God wants to come and he wants to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and vice versa, okay? He wants those fathers to take responsibility for the children, okay? And the children to kind of look up to the fathers and follow them and imitate them, okay? And what he says in there as well is that if that doesn't happen, all right, what happens is a curse comes onto the earth, okay? And if we look at today's world, all right, unfortunately in South Africa, we have a real lack of fatherhood, okay? And this is physically now, but also spiritually, I think, as well, all right? And I believe that us as in South Africa, we have a curse upon us, okay? Because of that lack of fatherhood. You know the stats where so many fathers have left the home. People grow up without fathers. I can see it. I'm a teacher, and I can see it. I can see the kids that are in my class. A lot of them, which it's shocking, like probably close to half of the kids in my class of 32 grow up in a home that doesn't have a father, that come from a divorced family where the father has just left them, all right, or where the father lives in England or up somewhere else in the country and they have to fend for themselves, all right. I can see it in those kids how they're lacking in something, all right. Now, I just got some stats from South Africa. All right, and what are the effects of a fatherless home? What is the effects of where the hearts of the fathers are not turned to the children and vice versa? Okay, these stats were taken from 2001 or were looked up in 2001. It says here 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 85% of all children that exhibit behavioral disorders comes from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists motivated with displaced anger come from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 75% of all adolescent patients in drug abuse sentence come from fatherless homes. 85% of all youth sitting in prisons grew up in fatherless homes. Okay. Now that is a hectic stat. Okay. We can see there that there's a curse. Okay, God brings, there's actually a curse that happens when there is not discipleship, when there is not impartation. Physically, like in real biological father to child, but also spiritually. Okay, we sit with in church, lots of people who are now out of church, who are offended, they're hurt from church. Okay, and I believe a lot of that has to do with lack of discipleship. Okay, and we're going to come to the practical later, but I just want you to see how important discipleship is. How important it is to train up people, okay, to let them get into your space, to see how you live. All right. These stats show an anger, okay? Children have an anger. They become angry when they have not, when they come from a home that doesn't have a father. All right, or a fatherly figure in that home. Okay. And the reason I believe for that is that God has made in each one of us a desire to be discipled. Okay, physically as in with your father, all right, but also spiritually. All right. You look at a little baby, all right, when they're young. Okay, Manus will tell you. When a kid is young, when a child is young, they lap up everything. Okay, they just want to learn. All right. They copy everything that you do. All right, they just want to be like you. Okay, they've got such a need to be discipled, such a need to feel part of something. Okay, to have someone impart in their lives. All right, and spiritually, that is the same in the church as well. Okay, when you become saved, all right, you are excited. You want to learn. You just want to know more of God. All right, and often what happens, and unfortunately, what happens in church today is that those kind of people are left on their own. All right. They become saved, they get saved in church and that type of thing, and that's great. But often we leave them here. Okay, we leave them at that point. All right, and that's a responsibility that us as fathers and mothers spiritually now in church today, we need to take a responsibility. Okay, we need to disciple those people. Okay, we need to tell them or ask them, invite them to come into our space. Okay, learn from us. Okay. And it's not such a case of, often people think, well, you know, discipleship is like, you know, you're down there and I'm up here and I'm going to kind of drag you up to my kind of level, my spirituality, because I know it all and you don't. Okay. That is not discipleship. Okay. It's growing together. It's actually learning from each other. Okay. You as a father, and again, those people who got children will know, you get joy from your child. All right. Your child brings you joy. Okay. And just as you bring joy to your child. Okay, so it's a case of growing together, and we're going to take a look practically at what that means. All right. I also took a look at, if we take a look at these people, Saddam Hussein, Robert Mugabe, Adolf Hitler, Jack the Ripper. Okay, all of these figures had one thing in common. Okay, all of them didn't have a father. All right. And you can see what happened as a result of that. All right. One person in each of their lives needed to take responsibility for those guys. All right? What would have happened if those fathers stood up and performed their role? Okay? You think, could we have had World War II? Maybe not. All right? There's lots of destruction, that type of thing, because of a lack of mentoring, a lack of discipleship. All right? And that's a scary place. All right, and we as a church have been called to disciple, as I've said. All right, let's just see. Okay, so I quickly want to talk about practically what is discipleship. Okay, and if we take a look at, I believe the scripture that kind of talks about this is 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1. All right, and it says here, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." Okay, now Paul here was talking to the church in Corinth, all right, and he was saying to them, imitate me, okay, just as I imitate Christ, all right, and I believe this is what discipleship is, okay. Discipleship is about imitating me as a father, not me, but the fatherly figures and that type of thing, okay, just as I'm imitating Christ. So it's not imitating me so you can look like me and act like me and be all cool like me or whatever. All right? That's not what it's about. Okay? It's imitating me because I myself am imitating Christ. All right? Now I looked up the dictionary definition of imitating or imitate. It says to follow or endeavor to follow as a model or example, to mimic or impersonate, to make a copy of, or reproduce closely, to have or assume the appearance of, to simulate or resemble. Okay, so this talks about practically imitating another person, to resemble or become like that person. Okay, now when we take a look at that, when we say imitate me, that talks about, again, more than just having a once a week walking with Jesus session. Okay. It's part of that. Walking with Jesus session is part of that, all right? But it talks about more getting into my space, okay? If I want to disciple Tapaneswa, okay, I will have, part of it will be having a walking with Jesus session. That is an amazing tool in terms of discipleship, okay? But it goes further from there. It doesn't just end there. That's a tool for discipleship, okay? Imitating talks about him getting into my space, all right? Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that he has to come and live with me now and watch how I do everything and whatever, all right? In spiritually or practically in terms of being in church and discipling those people, it talks about bringing those people alongside them in ministry, okay? If you need to go and pray up in the front or you go and pray up in the front of the church, bring that person with you, okay? Let them see how you do it, All right, and we're going to take a look now at Jesus' model of discipleship. But that really is what it talks about. Okay, get that person to come with you. See how you do it. All right, and as they see how you do it, they will start kind of copying it. All right, doing the same thing. All right, but the key here is that as you are imitating Christ, all right, so they are imitating you. So what is happening is you are actually imparting of yourself. All right, and if we take it further back, you're actually imparting Christ into that person, because as Christ imparts in you, so you impart Christ into that person. Okay, so it talks about spending time with that person. Okay, let them see how you live your life. How do you act? All right, how do you act in a certain situation? All right. I think someone who does this amazingly well is Pastor Sias, who's from Stellenbosch. He is amazing in this regard. Okay, whenever he goes and preaches, he takes a whole lot of people with him. All right, and you'll see, and I can see because I know how he is. There are so many people in church today in Shofar who have the same mannerisms as them as Sias, or you know, say the same type of jokes as Sias and that type of thing. And that's not just being like, oh, I can't make up my own jokes. That is, Sias has imparted himself into those people. Okay, it's really what he's done is he's sought to impart himself. Okay, just like when you are a father, one day when you're a father or mother, you impart some of yourself into your child. Okay, your child has your DNA. All right, they have your same mannerisms and that type of thing. Okay, I have the same mannerisms as my father. All right, it's not that I just want to copy him and be cool like him or whatever. It's because that's what I've grown up with. That's what has been imparted to me. Okay, and that's the same with Sias. All right, Sias has done that really well. He imparts himself and he gives of himself into other people. All right, and I remember when I was still a young Christian, I was in a small group with one of the pastors who's in George now. And he's quite a radical guy, Paul. Some of you might know him. But he was those guys had it really. They had this kind of idea down to the T. Okay, so what they would do now, I'd been saved only for about, I think, not even a year. All right, and whenever they went up to pray for people up in front, they would drag me along. Yes, and I'd be like, okay, go there. I wouldn't say a word. I just kind of they'd pray and then I'd put my hands on them, you know, and I watched them. And learned from them, saw how did they interact with these people, okay? And what actually happened is then one day, I think it was a few months later, there was an altar call and there was a whole lot of people that went up, okay? And I obviously went up with I can't remember who it was, one of the guys in the small group. And we got kind of separated in the whole madness of everyone walking up there. And I actually end up praying for this oak. He must have been 60 years old plus, you know, and he's bawling his eyes out, and you can see he's really been touched by the Lord. And now, so I get linked up with him, and I'm like, I haven't even been saved for a year now, and now I've got to pray for this guy, and I'm freaking out. But because I'd been with those people, with the guys as they were praying, I kind of knew what to say, in the beginning, I just kind of rattled off what I knew, what to pray and to say and that type of thing. But that was really a key of how to do it. Okay, I didn't say a word to those other people when I went to the other guys. But I just watched how they did it. What things do they ask? How do they pray? You know, what type of prayers do you pray and that type of thing? All right, and people don't know that. Often we think that when you get saved, suddenly, you know, God just downloads everything into you, and now you know everything, okay? People don't know that. Sometimes we don't know how to pray, all right? And that's where we as the people who've been saved, who know the Lord for a long time, we need to bring those other guys along, right? Those guys that have just been saved, they don't know really what's going on, okay? Bring them along, okay? Show them the ropes. Show them how to do it, okay? Yeah, so that is that. Right, another one is 2 Timothy 3 verse 10. Now, this is Paul again. Now, Paul obviously had an understanding of this. Okay, he discipled a lot of people. All right, When he was talking to the church in Corinth, he was talking there about discipleship. He was talking about how he was a father to those people. All right. And this is here where he's talking in 2 Timothy 3, verse 10, where he's talking to Timothy, okay, which was his, he calls it his spiritual son. All right. And he was training Timothy up to lead the church. And this is what he says to him. He says, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at whatever that is, at Lystra, what persecutions I've endured, and out all of them the Lord has delivered me." Okay, so what he's saying is you have carefully followed those type of things. Okay, now, if you take a look at what Timothy has carefully followed, that talks about, if you can, you can see that Timothy spent time with Paul. Okay, it wasn't just a once a week session where Paul kind of gave him a few instructions and then he went off and went and did it. All right. If you look here, he was obviously, he saw Paul's doctrine. Okay, what he believed in. What are those things that Paul holds true and holds important in his life? Okay, his manner of life. Okay, now how can someone follow his manner of life? Well, simply by kind of following him, by being with him while he's living his life. Okay. His purpose, all right? His faith, his long suffering. How did Paul act and react when times were tough? Okay? Timothy would have seen that, how Paul went through those times when it was tough. Okay, and again it talks about spending time with a person. Okay. How he loved, how does Paul love? How does he persevere? When he got persecuted, what happened? Okay, and all of that talks about how Paul imparted himself into Timothy. All right, there was really an impartation. He says, he talks again in it's not up here, but in Romans 1 verse 11, he's talking to the church in Romans. He says, "For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you." All right, so Paul is saying that he wants to impart things into other people. Right, he wants to impart certain values and certain revelations into those Christians in the Roman church, okay, and in Corinth. All right. And that's the real key here is impartation. Are you imparting of yourself? Okay. Are you multiplying of yourself into other people? Okay. There are people out there, young Christians, who are desperate for someone to come alongside them and disciple them. Okay, and often what happens, unfortunately, is they get left alone, right? We think, oh, they're fine, they're in a small group, they'll be fine, all right? And often they need more of that. They need more discipling, more imparting than just small group. Okay. Right. Now, I just want to quickly take a look at Jesus' model, all right? Jesus really modeled discipleship here. All right, he got this obviously down to a T. Okay, and I want to take a look at what was his model. How did he disciple people? Okay, now the first one is that he prayerfully considered who he was going to disciple. All right, he didn't just pick anyone off the side of the street and say, "Okay, you just come, you." All right, it says in the Bible, I don't have the scripture here, that just before the night before he appointed his 12 disciples, he went up the mountain, it says there, and he prayed the whole night. Okay, so there he prayerfully considered who was his disciples, who was he going to disciple. Okay, and God obviously showed him these people he wants to be discipled. Okay, so the first thing in terms of discipleship is consider who you're going to disciple. All right, it's often a good idea to trust God to bring people across your path that have a similar calling to you. Okay, if you are an evangelist at heart, all right, bring some people alongside of you who also have that heart for evangelism. Okay, maybe they're young and you can kind of teach them. You've done a few missions and that type of thing, and you can teach them a few things about how to evangelize and the practical things and that type of thing. Okay, so Jesus really, he considered carefully who he was going to disciple. Okay, he brought along people who he knew we're going to build this church. Okay, that was on Jesus' heart, obviously, is to build this church. All right. The second thing that Jesus did is you'll notice, obviously, that he chose 12 disciples and not one. Okay. And then again, if you go back, that talks about multiplication. All right. Jesus really, he multiplied himself. All right. By not only choosing one disciple, but 12. Okay. And this is often, again, where sometimes we need to learn a little bit in terms of this. All right. Sometimes we only disciple one person. Okay. And that's great because they're getting all of our attention, that type of thing. Okay. But what often happens, sometimes what happens, is that there becomes a dependency relationship where the disciple is kind of dependent on you for everything. Okay. And it's kind of often what happens is there's this individualistic attitude or mentality rather, right? Where Jesus, he appointed 12 people. Okay, so he really multiplied himself. So now practically often we can't have 12 people that are kind of we being discipled with or we discipling and that type of thing. All right, but it talks about more than one. All right, multiply yourself. Okay. From one becomes two, maybe, and two becomes four, or whatever it is. All right, so it's more than one people, okay, or more than one person. All right, then the third thing you will see is those disciples followed Jesus for 3 years, everywhere. Okay, they did everything together. All right, they spent the whole day together, pretty much every day for 3 years. Okay, Jesus didn't say, okay, you are my disciples, right? Every Tuesday at 6 o'clock, we're going to have a quick hour session where we're going to just chat about a few things, okay? Jesus took them with him wherever they went, all right? And those disciples saw how Jesus acted. What type of things did he do? Okay, what was his heart? All right, within that you will see often and in a lot of places how Jesus taught his disciples at various stages. Okay, so teaching and those kind of sessions are very important. Okay, Jesus did it as well, to teach someone. All right, this is how we do something, or this is our heart, or this is what's important in life. All right, but he was with them as well. All right, so it wasn't just that teaching session, it was following him around. Okay, and I love it with Jesus as well, how he taught his treated his disciples. If you think about Jesus was God, okay? He was human, 100% human, but he was 100% God as well, okay? And it must have been, for him at times, extremely frustrating to have 12 disciples who pretty much in the beginning knew nothing, all right? But God, or Jesus, really invested his whole self into them, all right? You'll notice there's one point where he sends them out, and he says, go and cast out the demons, heal the sick, right? Those people didn't even have the Holy Spirit yet, okay? But he really invested himself into those. He taught them. Just before they went, he taught them. He said, if you go into someone's house, you know, eat whatever they give you, that type of thing. There was a teaching involved, okay? And then he sent them out, all right? And it talks about Jesus invested himself in those people, okay? And that's what we need to as Christians. We need to invest ourselves into other people, all right, into younger believers, all right. Now, practically as well, this does not just talk about specifically about spiritual discipleship, all right. It does involve that. That's one of the aspects. But this is also in terms of, it could be business, all right. We need people, Christians today, who are businessmen, who have good moral values, who are in business, all right. Often we don't get taught what to do. What is the right thing to do in terms of money? What happens if someone comes with a bribe? If you're a businessman and you work in business, someone comes with a bribe, what is the right thing to do? All right, it might seem obvious, but a lot of people don't know that. Okay, and this could talk about that as well. Bringing someone, if you've got a heart for business, all right, and you know someone who's just become saved, just been saved, they've also got a heart for business, bring them alongside you. Okay, invest in their lives. Let them see how you go about it. How do you handle finances? What do you find important? All right? They can see that you tithe every month. Why is it important to tithe? All right? It's investing your life into those people. Okay. Right. So Jesus, pretty much in terms of discipleship, these are the two things that he did. He imparted himself in them, into his disciples, and he multiplied himself. Okay. And that is the key in terms of discipleship. Impartation, all right, imitating Christ in us, okay, and then multiplying ourselves. All right, just as Jesus or God said in Genesis 1, multiply, have dominion. Okay, God wants us to have dominion over our lives, all right, our areas of influence. Okay, and that I believe the one area is discipleship. Okay, multiplying yourself into other people. All right. And the final one, what is the purpose ultimately? Okay, and the purpose obviously ultimately is to become like Christ. All right, why do we disciple? Because we want to become like Christ. We want other people to become like Christ. We want them, as it says in 1 Corinthians, imitate me as I imitate Christ. All right, a Christ likeness is ultimately what the goal is. Okay, we want people to look like Jesus. All right, I love that scripture where the disciples, after Jesus has gone up to heaven again, and they're talking, and the Pharisees and the people there, the scripture says, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Okay, so those disciples at that point, they shone Jesus. Okay, so that even the Pharisees didn't see the disciples, those people, they saw Jesus. Okay, they realized they had been with Jesus. They recognized Jesus in them. All right, and that's our goal. Do people recognize Jesus in other people? All right. Do they recognize Jesus in us? Okay. And the key is their discipleship. As we imitate Christ, so those people imitate us. And through that, we shine Jesus. Okay. Right, guys. Let's quickly stand. Right. Now, I just want to pray for us, and what I want to pray about is, you know, a lot of us in our lives and in physically in our real lives, in terms of with our relationships with our parents, we haven't been discipled. Okay, nothing's been imparted to us. Maybe your dad left while you were still young. You never knew your dad or something like that. Okay, and there's actually a need to be discipled in all of us. All of us are desiring to be discipled. Okay, and I just want to pray for us, and then we're gonna pray into that area. Okay, so let's just close our eyes.